You know, we introduced Jurgen here at the head table, and we called him a former older person. And we love Jurgen Nash so much that we feel we have that trust that we can call him all kinds of things. And but we miss Jurgen around the station. A lot of pizza that's left over from the night shift never gets eaten anymore. Girls don't get sprayed with squirt guns at State Fair anymore. This past Christmas, there was a star atop our Christmas tree in the lobby of WCCO instead of Jurgen's picture. But happily, Jurgen is the boomerang of radio. He just keeps coming back. He's now on Sundays, by the way, Sunday mornings. So welcome now the man we affectionately call Chrome Dome, the man who's made Jack Benny look like a philanthropist, the man who over the years has denigrated commercial radio yet reaped untold wealth from it, the only British Norwegian in captivity. May I introduce to you Lord Jurgen Nash.
They wouldn't dare say that if my wife were here or my cat. I want to... Oh, yeah. I want to get serious because I get sentimental when I think of this station. In my WCCO association over the past 30 years, one comment or question, call it what you will, has kept recurring. How do you people do it? I've been around this country and heard lots of radio stations, but never one that even comes near to what you people sound like. They ask us that everywhere we go. Invariably, my reply, after I thank them, is, well, I suppose we just talk your language, and I imagine you've listened to us for so long that we're like part of the family. Actually, I've never been certain if that is the proper answer to their question, but that is the one that I always give them. I have kept a scrapbook covering my years in the business. Oh, partly out of vanity, I suppose. Its pages are full of the usual thing, pictures, clippings, but mostly, it seems, letters. Letters from listeners. And in their lines is perhaps the best story of the relationship between a broadcast station and its listeners. May I give you some examples? In the late 50s and early 60s, I hosted the early morning show starting at 5 o'clock. That's a frightful hour. At that hour, our signal leaps out over a good part of the United States, and phone calls would come in from some rather distant points. One morning, about 5:15, I had just finished the news and the weather. A chap was on the line from Charleston, West Virginia, with a question. Could I please include the weather report for his state each morning? Because he set out at that hour for his job, which included a couple of 100 miles of driving, and it would be good to know about the weather for the day. Well, of course, I asked him the obvious. Well, doesn't your local station provide that? To which he replied, but I always listen to you every morning. And I get all the news and the sports, and if I could just get the weather, that's all I'd need. So after that, I suppose our listeners must have been amused, if not puzzled, to hear, sandwiched in with the Midwest regional forecasts, the weather for the state of West Virginia. Somewhere out in Cheyenne, Wyoming, there is a house tonight, I'm sure, with a library of classical records stocked mostly, for better or worse, on my recommendation. From 1958 to 1973, some of you may recall, I did a nightly music show ranging from Chopin to ethnic melodies and everything in between, almost everything except pop tunes. Once a week on a Sunday night for about 3 years, I would take a call after the program from a listener in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and I would read out the LP numbers of some dozen albums I had used in the previous week. LPs, some of which I assume he would then go out and purchase in a Cheyenne music store. After 3 years, the call stopped. He perhaps ran out of shelf space, I would guess. WCCO, through that same program, meant something else to a person in the state penitentiary at Stillwater. A letter from this inmate said, "I'm a lifer. I'm doing the long haul. I wait for your program every night, Jurgen, when I can lie on my bunk, slip on my earphones, and for a half hour, I can get away from here. It helps me to keep my sanity." We crossed a prison wall, and we went into a cell, and for a few minutes, we made life tolerable for a hapless individual. A local columnist once wrote, "The WCCO looks forward with glee to winter storms, even hopes for a few severe ones, so we can go into action." I won't mention who he was, but I recall a very bad one that roared in from the Dakotas some 15 years ago. It was in the late 60s. The warnings went out, "Stay off the roads." At the height of the blizzard, I was on the air at the time, I took a call from a woman out on the Minnesota-North Dakota border area. Her husband, she said, was long overdue on a return trip from a town 50 miles away. She said he was accustomed to such weather. He had a cool head, and he would stay with his car if it were snowed under. She was not frantic, but I could detect in her voice she was worried. Worried mostly that her husband would be concerned over her waiting at home. He would be listening to WCCO, she told me. And she asked, "Would it be possible, Jurgen, for us to say just a few words to him on her behalf?" Well, of course, the regulations state that a radio is not a telephone and is not to be used as such. But regulations are made to be bent in life-threatening situations. And so, in the midst of all the orderly bedlam that accompanies a program during one of our Minnesota storms, I directed a few words to this snowed-in car out on that prairie highway. "Earl Johnson," I said, "if you're trapped in the storm on your way home to Ortonville, your wife asked me to assure you that she knows you will stay in your car and you won't try to hike it. Your family is safe at home, and they know that you will be back when this thing blows over and you have been dug out. Play it cool, Earl," I said, "and follow the usual procedures in your situation." Well, a week later, I got a letter. It read, "I was in my car, completely snowed under. I must admit I was scared because this was a bad one, but mostly I was so worried over what my wife and family were going through waiting for me. When I turned on the radio to hear what was going on, there was your voice talking to me. It gave me such a lift, I can't tell you what it did for me alone and trapped in that car. We will be forever grateful, the Earl Johnson family." Yes. As they say, WCCO is all things to all people. And finally, if I may, a personal note. The relation this legendary station had to a Scandinavian immigrant couple. The voices of its announcers were a daily thing in our home in South Minneapolis from the 1920s onward. Hearing it year after year, I would guess, shaped my future. As a 10 to 12-year-old, I would set up a make-believe microphone, and with our family record player alongside, I would be an announcer. In high school years later, I'd find time to visit the WCCO studios, which were then in the Nicollet Hotel. I'd watch the programs and be absolutely mesmerized by the people whose voices I knew so well. In university, I prepared through every course available for a career in this field. And then I did my 5 to 6 years in stations outstate. In June of 1953, what I had hoped and prayed for happened. A call from the station. A couple of meetings with the program people, and I was in. I was to start in 2 weeks. From the station that June afternoon, after being hired, I drove to my parents' house out on the south side to give them the news. My father, then 5 years retired, was in the backyard when I drove in. I remember saying to him, "Dad, I'm afraid you'll have to get used to hearing me around here again every day. I'll be back in the house. My voice will on WCCO." I can picture it now. He looked at me for a few moments, and then without a word, the old boy started for the back door of the house with me directly behind. Once in the house, he called out to my mother. Her name, my mother's name was Wilhelmina. It's a good old Swedish name, but Mina, M-I-N-A, was the name by which he was known to their friends. Mina, milde gude himmelen, he said. He called out in Norwegian. Now, Dad was not overly religious, but in moments of high excitement, he was known on occasion to call on the deity. Those words mean great God in heaven. Milde gude himmelen, Mina, Jürgen has made it to the top. Mindy, come to hear me. He's going to work at WCCO. He's finally made it to the top. Well, I wish they were here tonight. They would be thrilled beyond words. For them, as for so many millions in this great region, over the past six decades, it has been a special relationship between broadcasting station and listeners. But for them, it was a relationship shared twice over. Thank you so much.